heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity because truth matters. To find out more about Hank Hanegraaff or one of his resources, go to our website at www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Good to be in studio as we answer your questions live on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Also, we're going to be talking to Adam Christing as we discuss a Mormon president, Joseph Smith's run for the White House. And you certainly begin to understand a whole lot about a religion by understanding its founder. And today, Mormonism is in the spotlight. And we have an unprecedented opportunity to communicate the deviations of Mormonism from Orthodox Christianity, not to win an argument, but to use the deviations as a springboard or an opportunity to share the truth and love and grace that only Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of Christianity, can bring to the human heart. And remember, just 4 years ago, as a result of Barack Obama's former pastor, Jeremiah Wright, black liberation theology was catapulted into the national spotlight. And everyone was asking, what is black liberation theology? We might discuss that later on in the broadcast today. But the question was in the forefront of people's minds. And the Christian Research Institute is uniquely designed to provide you with credible answers to questions just like this. So just as we had that opportunity 4 years ago and yet have that opportunity today, when Mormonism is in the white-hot glare of a spotlight, not only nationally but internationally, we need to be ready, equipped as Christians to give answers. And again, that is precisely why we are offering three resources: a Mormon president, Joseph Smith and the Mormon quest for the White House, the Mormon mirage, seeing through the illusion of mainstream Mormonism, and memorable keys to the Mormon mirage, a 4x6 laminated flip chart. By the way, for your gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, we'll send you all three. But as prologue to what we're going to be discussing live here in just a few moments with Adam Christing, I want to mention that in 1823, the angel Moroni visited Mormon prophet Joseph Smith and told him where he could find some golden plates that contained the fullness of the everlasting gospel. Those plates, allegedly abridged by Moroni and his father Mormon 1,400 years earlier, were written in what was called Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics. Along with the plates, Smith found a pair of magical eyeglasses that he used to translate the cryptic writing into English. And of course, the result was a new revelation called the Book of Mormon and a new religion called Mormonism. Now, what's interesting about the Book of Mormon is that it has been utterly discredited today, not only through archaeology, but also through anthropology. Dr. Thomas Murphy, a Mormon anthropologist and scholar, says this: "We are now in a dilemma. The genetic evidence shows clearly that American Indians are not Hebrews, they are not Israelites. The archaeological evidence shows that the Book of Mormon is not true. We have based our beliefs upon the Book of Mormon, which we thought was an accurate, ancient, historical record. The genetic evidence has pretty conclusively shown that that is not possibly the case. Because we gave the Book of Mormon the status of the Word of God, we have to change what we now mean by the Word of God. That's a dangerous prospect for any religion to do, and I don't know that many Mormons would accept that as a possibility. But, says Dr. Thomas Murphy, Mormon anthropologist and scholar, but there isn't a lot of alternative, close quote. Mormonism again in the spotlight, the Book of Mormon shown not to be a credible repository of redemptive revelation, the Bible, however, shown to be credible, and Christians now have an unprecedented opportunity to do something with respect to the largest American-born religion in the history of the world. The question is, will we do it? The answer to that question by Adam Christing was absolutely. I'm going to seize this opportunity. He's director and writer. He's executive producer of A Mormon President, and he joins me now on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Hank. Great to be back with you.
Good to have you on. We've been discussing Mormonism all month. And again, just as a prologue to our discussion, as I mentioned, 4 years ago, we had an unprecedented opportunity to talk about Black liberation theology. Today, we have an unprecedented opportunity to talk about Mormonism. What do you think can be accomplished if Christians will equip themselves?
Well, I really think you're right. We are in the middle of an extended Mormon moment, I think is what Newsweek called it. And it's not just with Romney, but you've got the number one smash success on Broadway's the musical A Book of Mormon, and you've got hit TV shows like about plural wives, you know, sister wives. And so we certainly have an opportunity to understand Mormonism and its history at this moment, and also it's something everybody's talking about. So we're actually engaging in a conversation that people are already having.
And when I describe the Book of Mormon, which Joseph Smith allegedly found in the Hill Cumorah, in the way that I have by quoting a Mormon scholar who says, from an anthropological standpoint, the Book of Mormon simply doesn't correspond to reality, what do you say?
Well, you know, every time we look at what Joseph Smith claimed to have translated, there are problems. Of course, with the Book of Mormon, you've mentioned some of those significant problems. He also claimed to have translated the Book of Abraham, and it's been discovered that that had nothing to do with the biblical Abraham. It was actually an ancient Egyptian funeral text. He claimed to have the New Inspired Bible, where he actually inserted his own name into the Book of Genesis. And then there's another example that very few people have heard of, but it actually happened, and that was he claimed to begin a translation on something called the Kinderhook Plates, which was a fraud designed to expose Joseph Smith as a fake by his own contemporaries. So every time we can examine his translations, they simply don't add up.
Okay, I just described you as a writer, a director, an executive producer of a film. Of course, you do much more, but a film that is now in the spotlight, A Mormon President. But are you perhaps an anti-Mormon?
That's a great question. I certainly am not. In fact, last week I was screening the film at the second largest Latter-day Saint group called the Reorganized Latter-day Saint Church, now called the Community of Christ. And one thing we discovered in our research is that there are something like 400 different splinter groups that go back to Joseph Smith. And I'm not opposed to any individual in any of those groups. But of course, I have real concerns and criticisms for Mormonism. So it's probably helpful to make a distinction between Mormons, who I love, and Mormonism, which I think is what you might call a counterfeit Christianity.
Interest of full disclosure, talk about your background.
Yeah, as a kid, I grew up in this church that I mentioned, Hank, called the Reorganized Latter-day Saint Church. What happened is after Smith, the Mormon prophet, was murdered, there was a real crisis. Who would succeed him? And everyone thinks that Brigham Young sort of just stepped in there and took over, but it was actually a real controversy at the time. And a number of Mormons, including Smith's first wife, Emma, remained in Nauvoo, Illinois, and waited for Joseph Smith III to grow up and be his successor. And that church today has about 250,000 members, whereas the larger Utah Mormon Church has about 14 million. But there are many, many different sects of Mormonism, which is kind of ironic when you think about it, because they all claim to be the one true church.
And so your firsthand understanding of Mormonism led you at some point or other to examine whether or not it was true?
Well, what happened was I was in high school, and I was arguing with a Latter-day Saint friend of mine, because I was a reorganized Latter-day Saint, and I was saying, hey, we are the one true Mormon church. And he was saying, no, we are the one true Mormon church. And so I went back to study early Joseph Smith to show that my church was the correct Mormon church. And in that process, I came to discover many of Joseph Smith's false prophecies and his history, and was very disillusioned to discover that, wow, this is a very human man who seemed to make it more about his own storytelling, his own visions of himself, certainly not based on the New Testament.
What will someone get, Adam, if they get this DVD? How will it prepare them to always be ready to give an answer when they meet the Mormon on their doorstep?
Well, I think one thing they'll see is that you can have a conversation with people without attacking them. I'm proud of this film, Hank, because many Mormons, in fact, at the conference I just mentioned, many Mormons came up to me and thanked me for presenting a film that was balanced. And so it's the kind of documentary you could sit down with Mormon friends or neighbors and watch it, and you'll find that they can't disagree with the facts, because historically it's very factual. We interview BYU professors and Mormon historians, along with critics of the church. And so I think the first thing is, I can't remember who said this, maybe it was Dwight L. Moody, he said, I listened more people into the kingdom of God than I talked into the kingdom of God. And so I think listening begins with having a conversation where you can ask questions and interact, and I hope that this film is a nice way of doing that without making someone feel attacked or on the spot.
You know, I've been trying to make the case that this is an unprecedented opportunity for us to equip ourselves to reach the many Mormons that we encounter in our lifetime, to use this as an opportunity. But so many people see this as more of a political statement or maneuver on my part than an equipping kind of enterprise. How would you address that issue?
Well, I think you just hit on it a moment ago when you said we want to be equipped to always be ready to give an answer. And so here's the thing that might help your listeners really understand the movie part of what you're doing, and that is, it's called A Mormon President because Joseph Smith ran for president, and because he claimed to not only be a prophet, but he was hoping to create a theocracy on Earth. And so this film is not specifically about Romney or about today's election, and it doesn't tell anyone how to vote, but it examines very carefully this man, Joseph Smith, and his quest to really set up a modern-day Mormon kingdom in his time back in the 1830s. And if we don't look at history, if we don't compare it with the Scripture, then we're really not doing our part as believers. So that the Scripture is very clear and commands us to prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. I mean, in a nutshell, we're commanded to think, and I think what you're doing in tying in with this film at this time in our culture is entering into a conversation that people are already having in a thoughtful way.
And when we come back from the break, Adam, I want to ask you about learning to scale the language barrier, because Mormons are very adept at using our language. For example, they will say, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, or I believe in God, or I believe in heaven. They use language that we're very familiar with, but they pour their own meanings into the world. We'll talk about that and much more on the other side of the break with Adam Christing. Again, he is the Writer, director, executive producer of A Mormon President is available all this month for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. And do remember, for your gift of $100 or more, I'll send you my little booklet called The Mormon Mirage, Seeing Through the Illusion of Mainstream Mormonism, as well as memorable keys to the Mormon Mirage, a 4x6 flip chart in which I use the acronym Mormon to give you a way by which you can remember the deviations between Mormonism and Orthodox Christianity. In the process, you yourself as a Christian will become ever more familiar with the truth. It is so critical that we as Christians understand what we believe, why we believe, and who we believe, because virtually every cult or world religion, every deviation from the true gospel of Jesus Christ actually uses language that seems to communicate a real God, but then reinvents God in a completely different image. We'll be right back with Adam in just a few moments, and then your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You can learn a lot about a religion by studying its founder, and when we study Joseph Smith, his difference from Jesus Christ couldn't be more striking. When you partner with us in ministry through a gift today, we'll send you the revealing DVD, A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you two additional resources exposing Mormonism's theological deviations from Christianity. Get equipped. Go online now to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Thank you. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. For decades, Mormon leadership has made a concerted effort to win over Americans by making it appear Mormons hold the same basic tenets as Christians. That's why Hank has taken the actual teachings of Mormons themselves and distilled them into an important resource to help you grasp the essential doctrinal differences between Mormonism and Christianity, the memorable keys to the Mormon Mirage flip chart. Through the memorable acronym Mormon, you'll learn how Mormon leaders have redefined Christian terms so they can sound like they're agreeing with us, but mean something entirely different. But more importantly, you'll be equipped to use the deviations to share the truth and love with Mormons as God provides opportunities. Order Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Did the prophet Daniel predict a seven-year Great Tribulation period? The answer to that question is yes, but the next question is, when did or when will this Great Tribulation take place? Hank Hanegraaff answers this question in a feature-length Ask Hank column. Other topics include surmounting cultural barriers in presenting the gospel to Muslims, defending Christianity in the marketplace of ideas like the Apostle Paul, addressing the emotional problem of evil, evolution's Achilles heel, Kierkegaard and U2 on authentic love, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Few people know the story of Joseph Smith's quest to be our first Mormon president or the secrets behind his rise to power. Learn the truth with the DVD, A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House. Our gift to you when you support more Bible Answer Man broadcasts with your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you two additional resources sharing the truth of Mormon theology. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give today. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We've all seen them, and in some cases, we've seen them literally hundreds of times. But you know how you can become so familiar with something, you see it over and over again, but you never really pause to try to identify the meaning of the image that you're looking at? And so you look at the spire of a Mormon temple, and at the top of that spire, you see this golden image, and you wonder, what is that image? And then you're on to other things. But today, people really want to know, because all of a sudden, with Mormonism in the spotlight, they're wondering, who or what is that? We see crosses at the apex of churches, but we see something else on the spire of a Mormon temple. Adam Christing, he's the writer, director, executive producer of A Mormon President. He joins me on air as we talk about his film, A Mormon President. Adam, what is that golden image we see on the spire of a Mormon temple?
I think you're referring to the angel Moroni, Hank, and you make a great point. You don't see a cross at the top of a Mormon church. And I find that very interesting. In fact, one of the experts we interviewed, who's a former Mormon and now a born-again pastor, Sean McCraney, and he says it's almost like Joseph Smith is walking by the cross and telling Jesus, you know, what you did is good, but it's not quite enough. We have more things to add. And so in Mormonism, you have a gospel that adds many, many laws and rules to the gospel of Christ, the gospel that Paul preached. And you have a temple, and you have so many things that go beyond the clear, beautiful, saved-by-grace message of the New Testament.
What's very interesting in Mormon lore, Moroni and his father, Mormon, of course, are very, very significant.
Oh, very significant. Joseph Smith claimed that Moroni was the one who appeared to him and basically led him on this adventure of uncovering these golden tablets that were translated into the Book of Mormon. There are all kinds of historical problems with that story, one of which is that in early comments, Joseph Smith referred to that angel as the angel Nephi. That's who Brigham Young said that he saw. And, of course, the testimony of Joseph Smith kept evolving and evolving to the point where he claimed to have seen Christ, and he claimed to have seen Christ or Jesus and God as separate physical beings, and all the way to the point in 1844, just a few weeks before his death, where he taught that human beings could exalt themselves and become gods themselves.
Just before the break, Adam, I was talking about the fact that we as Christians need to learn to scale the language barrier, because Mormons use our language and pour their own meanings into the words. Talk about this with respect to the moniker Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think you're really onto something here, Hank. I want to step back for a second. Imagine if you had, say, a foreign exchange student staying at your house, say, from Japan, and you told them, wow, it's raining cats and dogs outside. Well, you know that you mean by that it's really pouring outside, but somebody else would think, I have no idea what they're talking about. Well, when we hear Mormons or others use language, we might assume that we're saying the same thing or meaning the same thing. So, for example, in Jesus Christ, in Mormon theology, he is divine, but he's one of many divine beings. He's the firstborn son of many sons and daughters of God that are basically equal to him. He is further along in terms of progressing to godhood. And the shocking thing, and I don't say this to be dramatic, but it is in Mormon theology, is he is the spirit brother of Lucifer. And so in Mormon theology, there was this great war in heaven, and essentially Jesus said, hey, Father, I will allow people to choose to freely believe in you. And Lucifer said, well, I will force them to believe in you. These two brothers presented this plan to the Father, and the Father rejected Lucifer's plan and accepted Jesus' plan. Well, that is probably closer to Greek mythology than to Christian Orthodox theology.
Yeah, in that regard, talk about salvation in Mormon terms and contrast that with salvation in Christian terms.
Yeah, you know, last week we were screening the film A Mormon President in Independence, Missouri, which is where Smith taught that Christ would return, and I was chatting with a wonderful Mormon man, and I said, well, in the scripture, it's very clear that Adam fell and plunged us into, you know, we're lost, born lost, needing the gospel. And he said, well, he fell upward, meaning that what Lucifer said in the garden, your eyes will be open, you'll be as God, was actually true. And so in Mormon theology, Adam did us a favor, and now our job is with Christ's help. They wouldn't say that we can do it without Christ. They would say that we need to have faith in Christ, repentance, baptism, the laying on of hands. It's almost like the ultimate Boy Scout adventure where you're becoming an Eagle Scout. And I'm not saying this to be flip, Hank, but in the sense of earning your way up through badges and merits, and ultimately in Mormonism, there's three levels of heaven, and you ultimately, through obedience to the Mormon Church and through temple secret ceremonies, you enter the celestial kingdom of God, the very highest order of heaven. But in biblical Christianity, you have the thief on the cross, who certainly was not a good human being, not a moral man, and his last breath to Jesus is, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says to the thief on the cross, this day you'll be with me in paradise, which is the highest level of heaven where God dwells, paradise. See, you almost can't have a bigger contrast when it comes to salvation.
When we talk about these issues, of course, we're not playing a game. This is about where people spend eternity. So often, Adam, we think about what our economy is going to look like in the next few years. And that, of course, is a very significant issue. I don't want to downplay that or minimize that. But I think the ultimate issue is the city of God and who is part of that city and who will forever not have a part in the city of God.
Yeah, I think you're really onto something there. What's that great hymn? Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. If we put our hope in politicians or the government or ourselves, we're in a lot of trouble. And the challenge with groups like Mormonism is essentially they throw us back into putting our hope in ourselves and our own efforts. And in some ways, I think the reason Mormonism is the largest American-born religion in the world is it takes that idea of independence all the way and basically says we can do it in our own independent strength. And of course, the New Testament says exactly the opposite, that salvation is a gift and that not of yourselves.
And when you talk about the largest American-born religion in history, it's not a religion that is relegated to America. It is a religion that is being exported around the world. And I would say we as Americans in particular now have a great opportunity, indeed a responsibility, to be equipped so that we can reach people not only here in our own country, but indeed around the world.
Yeah, and I think we must remember that it's our job to be informed, to be educated, and we can't know every detail about every religion, of course. But we can sometimes learn the faith of the Bible the best by comparing it to what might be a pseudo-religion or a counterfeit religion. And I do think it's interesting that when you look at something like Mormonism or Scientology with L. Ron Hubbard, both of these founders come out with a book that they basically say is on par with the Bible and use that as a bridge to take people into teaching that is completely different and actually antagonistic to the New Testament teachings.
Talking to Adam Christing, and again, he is the writer-director and executive producer of A Mormon President. It is available through the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can order it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, you can pick up the telephone and talk to our resource consultants. That number, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Let's see if we can squeeze in a question or two. Don in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, listening on KQCV. Hi, Don.
How you doing, sir? Good to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you.
Talked to you a few times. Clearly, you got a very talented individual there, not only in him and in yourself. But I'm not a Mormon, and I don't believe in Mormonism, debated with him, whatever. But possibly, maybe, I don't know, you and your friend there can answer this question, possibly this daily and weekly bashing of Mormonism could possibly be doing more harm to Mr. Romney than actual good. I mean, all of us would rather have a chicken, a toad, or a baboon in there besides Mr. Obama, and I don't mean to be disrespectful. I'm just saying, if we don't counterbalance what you're doing there with the fact that the Mormon morality, their basic morality and what they teach, is far better and exceeds that of what Mr. Obama is and about, possibly those people that are on the fence, on, you know, walking the fence, may say, well, I don't want this cultic, you know, guy in there. He may get in there and do nutty things. So maybe, I don't know, a counterbalance to, you know, say, this is better than what we have. You know,
yeah, but I cannot, look, I cannot, and I give Adam an opportunity to address this issue as well, but I cannot address the issue of who to vote for. I mean, that's not the point. The point here is that we have an opportunity to talk about Mormonism, not to use your word bash Mormonism, but to use our well-reasoned answer to reach Mormons, to treat them with respect and love. We did the exact same thing 4 years ago when we were talking about black liberation theology. We didn't do so in a disrespectful way. We did it with gentleness and with respect, which is precisely what we're called to do. Adam?
Yeah, one of the reasons I made the film, actually, is I felt that there had been many hit pieces against Mormons and Mormon history that used, you know, dramatic music and sound effects and cartoons and things. And frankly, I thought it was really cheesy. And so one of the things I wanted to do was to humanize Joseph Smith so that evangelical Christians could see that this guy was not a monster, but he certainly was not a teacher of the true gospel. But I hear your listener's concern. On the one hand, it sounds like he feels like, you know, the country's going to hell. On the other hand, he feels like, you know, Mormon teaching can send people to hell. So I do get that dilemma. And my feeling is that we have to do both. But our first call is, I believe, to defend the gospel. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where it commands us to vote a particular way, but I see lots of commands where it talks about standing for the truth.
Adam, as always, good to have you on the broadcast.
Oh, great to be with you.
Thank you so much for your contributions to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and for your film, A Mormon President. It is available through the ministry. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, you can talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 in the letter CRI. On the other side of the break, the executive producer, or I should say the editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, Elliot Miller, joins us right here on the broadcast as we answer your questions. And we'll not only do that for the next segment, but also stay here for an extra hour once we go off the air. And we'll continue taking your calls for a whole hour thereafter. So stay tuned. We'll have a lot of time to answer your questions in the next few segments.
The presidential race has thrown a spotlight on Mormonism, providing many opportunities to share the gospel as you point out the discrepancies between it and biblical Christianity. Equip yourself with the DVD, A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House, our gift in appreciation for your ministry support today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you two additional resources explaining what everyone should know about Mormonism.
please partner with us. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. And thank you. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. When Christians serve the Lord in Muslim-majority nations, it is expected that they take on some of their host culture's behavior to help reduce barriers to people hearing the gospel. As the Apostle Paul said, we must learn how to be all things to all people, that by all means we might save some. Other topics include, is dispensationalism indispensable? Could environmentalism become a global religion? To defend marriage, we should learn a lesson from apologetics. Plus, a feature-length Ask Hank column and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership. For decades, Mormon leadership has made a concerted effort to win over Americans by making it appear Mormons hold the same basic tenets as Christians. That's why Hank has taken the actual teachings of Mormons themselves and distilled them into an important resource to help you grasp the essential doctrinal differences between Mormonism and Christianity. The Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage Flipchart. Through the memorable acronym MORMON, you'll learn how Mormon leaders have redefined Christian terms so they can sound like they're agreeing with us, but mean something entirely different. But more importantly, you'll be equipped to use the deviations to share the truth and love with Mormons as God provides opportunities. Order Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Our passion and purpose at the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers worldwide with the truth about cults, culture, and Christianity, so that when faced with distortions of the truth or false teachings, it is instantly recognizable. But we need ministry partners to both pray for our work and to partner with us financially. Would you consider joining the Bible Answer Man support team? These monthly donors are the backbone of our financial support for our broadcasts, publications, and outreach activities. To stand with these dedicated ministry partners, call CRI today at 888-7000-274. You can also join the support team or find out answers to your questions by going to our safe and secure website at equip.org. We now return to today's program. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Joining me in studio, Elliot Miller. He is the editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, our award-winning magazine. You can order online at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, pick up the telephone and dial 888-7000-CRI. Talk to one of our resource consultants as you place an order for the Christian Research Journal. By the way, when we discuss Mormonism, do remember, as mentioned in the opening of the broadcast today, 4 years ago, we were focused on black liberation theology because Jeremiah Wright had brought that into the national spotlight. Today we have an opportunity to talk about Mormonism, but so much more. If you get the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, you'll see that the cover story is about surmounting barriers in the Christian-Muslim dialogue. So we have all kinds of opportunities to equip ourselves to use what is in the news as a springboard or an opportunity to share the truth and love and grace that only the Christ of Christianity can bring to the human heart. And Elliot Miller, that is one of our contentions. People may say that is narrow-minded, but we believe what Jesus said to be absolutely true, that He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life, that He is the only one who can bridge the gap between our unrighteousness and the holiness and righteousness of the one who spoke, and the universe leapt into existence.
And Hank, that's, I think, what defines CRI and what I believe that as Christians, it should define all of us. And that is that although we are speaking to the contemporary world situation, you know, the election, the campaign to have same-sex marriage become legal across the land, and different issues that are controversial and contemporary, and we speak to those issues, yet we speak to them with a concern that is not of this world, in a sense. In other words, we are speaking to them as a springboard, an opportunity to proclaim the eternal gospel of Jesus Christ, which He Himself taught and which we know addresses the root problem of human strife, human poverty, human oppression, inequality, and all else. All of these social ills that people are concerned about really are rooted in human sin. And until they are dealt with at that level, then there's no way that anything else that's attempting to correct these things politically, socially, is going to really prevail in the long run. And it also, it's the paradoxes that Jesus taught. He says that if you seek to save your life, you will lose it. If you lose your life for my sake, you will find it in a life everlasting. And so as we realize that we have an everlasting hope, and we no longer seek to find everything in the here and now, the quality of life in the here and now can come closer into God's intention and purpose. And so that's why 4 years ago, you know, when we were discussing the black liberation theology, Jeremiah Jones and
Jeremiah Wright.
Jeremiah Wright. Where did I get Jones from? And you know, his church in Chicago that Barack Obama used to attend, that is a perfect example of what I'm talking about, because they were concerned, like nobody else had more of a right to be, with the history of oppression that the black race had suffered at the hands of the white race here in America. And certainly the whole idea that they should just wait for heaven and not be concerned about their present condition would be an abuse of Scripture. In other words, for white people, as they did to justify the continuation of slavery and oppression of the black people, or after the Civil War, of segregation of the races, on the justification of an eternal hope, and for the black people to accept that, that would be wrong. But on the other hand, what happened is that you have the development of this black liberation theology, where they use the motif of Moses delivering the Jewish people from Egypt as applying for the black people to be delivered from oppression now. And so what they did was they were going after something that was valid, but they left Scripture behind. They left the eternal truths behind. And so you had the emergence of black liberal theology, which is all emphasizing the here and the now. But then you lose the basis for it. You lose the vitality. Those original civil rights workers were energized and brought onto a level of morality that was exemplary for the rest of us, and were a great witness to Christ because of their faith in the eternal verities of Scripture. But when you lose that focus, and then you just degenerate into another political movement. We've got political movements jockeying against each other all over the planet, and none of them are the light of the world, shining forth, the glorious truth about God. So we have to keep the eternal perspective, but then apply it to the things that are going on today.
Talking to Elliot Miller, he's editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. If you haven't subscribed, again, check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go to the callers. Next up is Kathy, Memphis, Tennessee, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, thank you so much. I know that 4 years ago, there were several people that I know that are fine Christians who decided to stay home and not vote at all because they didn't feel like anyone was representing anything that they could agree with. The problem that I had with that at the time, and I still have with a viewpoint like that, is that whoever is elected next is going to be in charge of Supreme Court appointees, etc. And right now we live in a country with an administration that has allowed on a terrorist watch list Christian groups to be listed. And my question to you is, if you think that we end up with a Mormon president, do you think Christians are still going to be on a terrorist watch list, or is it going to be a situation that is safer for Christians in this country?
Well, I think it's important to reemphasize what I said at the opening of this broadcast. We are not in our mission designed to tell people how to vote or even to be focused singularly on that. Where we are focused on is to use this opportunity to take what we're gifted to do, what we're called to do as an organization, and that is explain to people what theological constructs are all about and how they can be equipped to use the deviations of counterfeit gospels as opportunities to share the truth of the gospel. Now, that does not in any way, Elliot, minimize the fact that we're very concerned about social issues, and we're also suggesting that people ought to be involved in legislating morality, and that means voting. Many people don't think that you can legislate morality. We're saying, yes, you can. It's not a matter of whether you can legislate morality. It's always a matter of whose morality will be legislated, and therefore, we should not stay home. We should be involved in every sphere of life, making the very best decision we possibly can, given the circumstances we're in.
Yes, and so we certainly shy away from sitting here and saying, this is why you should vote for Romney, or this is why you should vote for Obama. That is really going outside of our mission. But what we are here to do is just to provide information in the area where we specialize. And that does have to do with theology, worldview, ethics. And so to the extent that these men have imbibed these theologies, we can address Mormonism, we can address Black liberation theology, which, it's uncertain the extent to which Obama has embraced that. But Jeremiah Wright definitely taught that, and Obama was in his church for, 18 years? So he definitely heard it and was to some extent influenced by it, you would imagine. So these are things that we factor in when we vote for people. Voting is a personal matter supremely, and you have to look at your beliefs and values and how this person would be working for them. You also have to look at what you would look for in a leader in terms of their character, their track record, how much they have actually followed through on their promises in the past, and just all the different considerations that people have, so that we are encouraging people to vote, to study, to consider all the issues, to be in prayer, and then to vote. But certainly we're not encouraging people would vote in a certain way. That's beyond our calling, and we would be stepping outside of our anointing, so to speak, to do that.
That help, Kathy?
My question, I think, comes down to would a Mormon president be more friendly to Christianity, or are we still going to be on terrorist watch lists?
Well, you know, I...
Knowing what you know about Mormonism, I do not know what you know about it.
Yeah, well, again, here's the thing that we're saying with respect to Mormonism. We're saying that Mormonism is a non-Christian religious belief structure. As far as a Mormon president is concerned, you can well imagine if you go back to the election and you think, who is going to make a better president? And you look at, well, is a president in the past like Jimmy Carter going to be a better president than Ronald Reagan was? Well, that's an issue that people debated. There's another issue, which one of them would have been the best Sunday school teacher? Would have been Ronald Reagan or Jimmy Carter? Most evangelicals would say, well, Jimmy Carter would probably have made a better Sunday school teacher. So I think the real issue in this particular case is not who will make the best Sunday school teacher, but who will make the best president of the United States. And again, as Elliot very clearly articulated, that is something that we cannot advise you on. We can talk about the social issues, we can talk about the spiritual issues, but we cannot advise you on who would make a better president. You have to answer the question with respect to whether Christians would be on the terrorist watch list. These are questions. You have to look at all the converging factors to make a decision on that. It isn't a question that I can address on the broadcast.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And we are almost out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We are going to stay right here for an extra hour, Elliot and myself, and we'll continue answering your calls. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. We will get to you. And you can also dial this number for the next hour, and we'll answer your questions as well. That number, 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. Again, for the next hour, Elliot Miller and I will be in studio answering your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll record our answers to your questions and play that on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast when I'm traveling. Again, that number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. And do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without your support, we can't do what we do. So please stand with us, because truth matters, prayerfully and financially. Look forward to seeing you next time on the next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, log on to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has deepened your understanding of the Scriptures and equipped you to better defend your faith. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. When we examine the life of Jesus Christ, we find a humble servant so blameless, so patient in suffering, even his worst enemies couldn't find a way to smear his name. In fact, we find the spotless Lamb of God, the only one qualified to be our Lord and Savior. But Joseph Smith, founder of Mormonism, was something else entirely. Learn his story and be better equipped to share the vital differences between Christianity and Mormonism with the revealing DVD, A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House. It's our gift and appreciation for your ministry support today. For your gift of $100 or more, you'll receive two helpful resources examining Mormon theology. Your gifts keep the Bible Answer Man broadcast on the air. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger.
That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership.